Hello there. This is Eric Sinrod from Duane Morris in San Francisco, joined by my colleague and partner, Jonathan Armstrong, in good old England with your weekly Tech Law 10 podcast. And here we are in the USA, the morning after our presidential and other elections, figuring out where we stand now. But Jonathan, while we've been dealing with that here, I understand you've had more important things to do, and that yesterday, in fact, you're so famous, you were on the BBC Flagship Today program. So why don't you enlighten us and get our minds off of our U.S. elections and tell us what you've been up to with the BBC.
I will. I'm happy to, Eric. And actually, I'm speaking to you today from the beautiful city of Prague, where it's heading into winter, but it's gorgeous. And there is actually a small presidential connection here, because I was on the BBC yesterday morning just before their coverage started of the U.S. Election. So I got to be the warm-up man of the warm-up man of President Obama, if you know what I mean, in that they played a clip of Jay-Z, Jay-Z obviously, as he'd be called in the UK, doing the warm-up for Obama just after my piece. But what I was talking about is this Ched Evans Twitter rape case. And we've talked about this before, and we said that people had been charged in the past, but nine of those people came before the court on Monday. So just to recap, if you didn't listen last time, Ched Evans is a Welsh soccer player, Welsh football player, who had a liaison with a girl after they had met in a nightclub. The girl said that she had been raped by Evans in his hotel room, and the court found him guilty of rape and sent him to prison. Around about 6,000 messages, it seems, were sent on Twitter, which seemed to have disclosed the identity of the girl concerned. Now, in the UK, it's a criminal offence to disclose the identity of a rape victim. Rape victims rightly have anonymity. So Evans was in jail, and a number of people, including some of his relatives and including former teammates of his, disclosed the identity of the girl and made various disparaging comments about her. Now, we think that perhaps between 2 dozen and 30 of those people who had tweeted were charged with criminal offences, and nine of them, well, 10 in fact, came before the court on Monday. One of them pleaded not guilty, and she will go now to a full trial, most likely, in January. The other nine pleaded guilty to the offence, and instead of being fined, they were ordered to pay compensation to the rape victim. And the level of compensation is around the $1,000 mark. Now, the BBC program effectively took the position that the sentences were too lenient. It seemed to me that in addition, however, to the monetary value of the compensation, these people suffer permanent blight. Now, nobody's undermining the gravity of these offences. It is wrong to subject rape victims to any possible harassment. And of course, I'm aware of the fact that the girl concerned has suffered blight as well. If her name does continue to appear on the internet, then you know, people will forever associate her with the crime that was perpetrated on her. But what I was trying to say is that it isn't just the monetary value for these nine people who pleaded guilty. One of them, for example, was a teacher. Now, we don't know what the school or the education authority thinks about the offence concerned, but obviously they now have to review her employment in the teaching profession, because she now has a criminal conviction for what is still a serious offence, even though the compensation paid wasn't high. The other thing that I do have a concern about, though, is how the court seemed to have applied a uniform fine, whereas it seems that some of the messages were worse than others, and indeed some people simply retweeted messages from other people rather than originating the messages themselves. And the court, admittedly, probably not going into this in a great deal of detail, seemed to be saying that retweeting a message is going to be punished criminally as well as and the same as somebody who says the original message. And that seems to me to be quite new. We haven't really known what almost like republication would be punished the same as the original offence. So that's where we are with it. As I say, we've got one person who would rather have their trial than plead guilty, and that itself might tell us more about how the courts are going to view Twitter in criminal terms here. But I wondered if you had any thoughts on that, Eric.
Well, I think you've said it very well, and obviously this is very serious business, and it really underscores the point that you and I make in our podcast and otherwise, that people have to be so careful in terms of, you know, what they say online, because, you know, it's so easy to converse and communicate information, and once upon a time it might be by a water cooler or over a beer, and now if it goes on the Internet, it goes out to the entire world. And when you sort of talk about this republication potential liability for somebody who might just forward on a message, you really have to be extremely careful. And it's difficult. You know, there obviously there's some people that are up to mischief and intend and actually cause harm, and there should be punishment. There might be others that are just passing along a message and not really thinking. And, you know, on any given day, we're all very busy people, and we encounter, you know, thousands of electronic communications that we have to handle, and yet you might just inadvertently pass something along and might have serious, you know, liability, and you could cause real harm to somebody. So we have to be very careful, and we have to take our time, even in this very busy, hopped-up electronic world that we're in. Those are my thoughts.
No, I think that's well said. I mean, perhaps on closing, I should say that at least two of the defendants in this case, so more than 20%, said that they were too drunk to know what they were doing.
Well.
And the judge obviously didn't accept inebriation as a defense, nor I think will any court to this type of offense. And I suppose it's just an added reminder to us that when we're, as we English would say, tired and emotional, we should leave that Twitter account well alone.
Exactly right. All right, well, thank you, Jonathan, for enlightening us on your thoughts that you also dealt with on the BBC. We'll be coming at you weekly as we do with our Tech Law 10 broadcast. Please inform us of topics you would like to cover. As you know, you can find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. My email address is ejsinrod@dwaynemorris.com. Jonathan, why don't you bring it home?
Yeah, I'm jparmstrong@dwaynemorris.com. You know how to get in touch with us by the usual online channels. And as an added extra, if you're walking the Charles Bridge in Prague on Thursday evening, then by all means come up and we can have one of those old-fashioned face-to-face conversations. All that remains, I think, is to thank you for listening, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Cheers.